if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we'll talk about quality culture. So it's something that is really important. It's something that I'm not seeing too much with a lot of companies. So it's why I wanted really that we are trying to clarify and help you also, maybe for people that are willing to put that in place to understand more what it is and how maybe you can make that available for your company. And for that, I have with me Leslie Worthington, which is an executive coach. So Leslie, welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Thanks so much, Mounir. And things have changed a lot for me in the past couple of years. I was on here, I think, November 2021. I was thinking back.
Yeah, when
was
exactly.
So who's Leslie? I'm just a girl from Toronto, Canada. I'm a certified executive coach working mainly with quality people and working mainly on their communication skills and their people skills and working mainly with people who are trying to do a better job of getting quality into the minds of other people at their organization. That's basically great. It. That's what I do.
No, great. Can you remind us what was the topic of the previous episode we had together?
Oh, God. Something about communicating about quality. So I'm definitely on the same path, right? But I've sort of changed more to focusing on building a quality culture.
Exactly.
Versus before, I was working with a lot of non-native English speakers just on their communication skills. And now it's with everybody on those skills that are allowing them to build that culture.
Yeah, I mean, people that are listening can go also to check on the YouTube channel to see the previous episode. I think it was more talking about communication on the fact that if you are not communicating in the right way, you can maybe not achieve what is your objective, how to communicate to the people that are executing or to communicate to the management in the top or language to do. I mean, those kind of things that were a bit tricky because we know that quality people are sometimes a bit too much analytics or they have too much I want to see this and that, but asking it in a certain way, nice way, something that people maybe are not can be better. So this is mainly the idea. But today, yes, we talk about quality culture. So Leslie, so can we start maybe with the first basic question? So maybe what is a quality culture for people that are listening here and that have no clue mainly what it is?
Yeah. So there are probably as many definitions of quality culture as there are people trying to define it, but I like to keep things very simple. So to me, in basic terms, a culture is a shared set of values, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. And so a quality culture is a set of shared values, beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that support the quality goals of your organization. They support your quality policy, your objectives that in turn support delivering products and services that meet the needs and expectations of the customers. That's what it comes down to. So when you think about it, it's kind of mind-boggling that we don't all have a quality culture. It's the foundation that allows us to succeed in our businesses. But it feels like somewhere along the line in people's mind, there's a disconnect between quality and the health and success of the business.
So the thing that is happening is that you have a company that is created, they start to try to comply for the medical device company, they start to comply to the regulations, if I can say, or the legislation. It tells them that they need to have a quality system with the procedure, etc. So, and this is, if I can say, the level, basic level, if I can say, for them, it's like, it's not like I have a choice. I need to have that. I need to have procedures, I need to have the ISO 13485, I need to have all this. But here, what we are talking about is the next level, mainly. It's really having some mindset, which is different than just having some documents and trying to show to everybody that you are compliant to that.
Yeah. It's not about checking the box. I mean, if you want to be, you know, average, go ahead, check the box, you know, but most people in business, they want to be the best, you know, they want to be better than their competitors. So what are you going to do? You got to go above the bare minimum. So checking the box is only the bare minimum. And it's easy to check the box if you've got a quality culture. It just happens naturally. So it doesn't make sense not to have one, in my opinion. So
exactly. So the ideas of this quality culture is maybe going more from the top to down instead of from down to top. So mainly the idea is that if you have everybody on the top that is understanding and really moving things and having this mindset, then everything will go down and everybody on the bottom will be understanding that because the top is asking for it mainly. So it's mainly that. Instead of us from the bottom and the quality yeah. people trying to push that up and say, guys, well, on the top, please be quality.
Yeah, ideally, right? Because if the leaders are leading with a quality mindset, that thinking and values should trickle down. But a lot of leaders aren't. So then as the quality person, you're like, well, now what do I do? It's like, well, you got to work on the leaders. So your main job is to try and get them to understand and then build it that way. Yeah, it's very difficult. You can build it, I think, from below, but it's just exhausting, difficult, and you've got to build all these little pockets of quality all around the organization and, you know, it's not ideal.
So in terms of building that, so we have maybe people listening now and say, okay, I understand now that the quality culture is like the next level, is more a mindset, is something that people will be having to have inside them, if I can say. So how now, as you mentioned, you have to convince and you have to start to spread the word. It's like a religion, I think you have to convince yeah. and come to my religion, etc. So yeah, how are we doing that then?
Well, it's kind of like, it's such a conceptual thing, right? So if you don't have your head around it, it's like, I don't get it. So it's a big task. It's a big task, and there are a lot of elements to it. And ultimately, it involves other people. So it can end up being a little bit messy. But your first step really has to be thinking about what you want your quality system to look like. And what you want your culture to look like. And that's the first step of any goal setting, really. And you have to get specific. So you kind of have to think, okay, it's not about like in an ideal world, what do I want this to look like? You don't have a blank slate. You're not in an ideal world. Everything you're doing is within the context of your current situation. Every company already has a culture, right? And so the quality culture is just going to be part of the larger organizational culture. So you have to think about what is realistic and desirable given my company, given the vision and mission and the people who are there and the history of it and the structure and the organizational goals. What is realistically feasible given all of that? And then getting really specific, you know how I hate buzzwords, right? But I'm going to use one now.
Yeah.
Like get really granular, get really specific about what you see in your ideal company in terms of quality culture, but break it down into different elements. So leadership commitment, employee engagement, education and training, communication, continuous improvement, feedback, customer focus, resource allocation, rewards and recognition, systems and processes, all of those things, you have to think about how quality culture impacts all of those things. So you're thinking about how you want an ideal, you know, how you ideally want it to look like from all of those different perspectives. So you have to get clear on that first so you know what you're aiming for. So there's no like model to copy or checklist or yep. template, sorry, but yeah, you have exactly. to figure out what you want and what's feasible and what makes sense for your company. So that's your starting point, but then you have to go, okay, what's the current state?
Okay.
In all of those areas, what's the current state? Then you go, okay, what's working and what's not? And then of those things that aren't working, where should I start? What area would have the biggest impact? And the answer is going to be different for everyone. So just as every QMS is different, every quality culture is different. So then once you've decided what you're going to work on, feel like you want to interrupt me. You want to say something. You literally figure out your first step. You make a plan. You figure out exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to track it and measure it and how you know you'll succeed. Like it's just the regular stuff we do when we're you know, making plans and trying to accomplish tasks. But it's hard. And what's hard is that we are an immediate gratification society. And this is about the farthest thing you can imagine from immediate gratification. You're working on your relationships. Relationships, which are ultimately about trust, which also takes time. So you're working on changing these long-held beliefs and mindsets of people who think quality is a checklist, who think it's just about compliance. You've got to change this. And along the way, maybe you have to take a detour and work on some of your own skills. So you can learn, maybe you need to learn how to influence better. Maybe you need to learn how to motivate people. Maybe you need to learn how to manage up so you can have those conversations with the people at the top. So it takes time. And it's not something you're going to do in 3 months or 6 months.
Yeah. So if now the people are listening, I say, it's interesting, but what is the win for me? What I will get at the end? Okay, I will put all those efforts to put that in place. So I will put a quality culture. Do you have some examples of maybe concrete examples of something that if you do it on that way, you can win that, or here is what you will succeed on? Or I mean, what I get out of it is like it looks like it's difficult, it takes time, etc. So what is the reward at the end?
Good quality. Good quality. Like, the reward is that everybody understands that you've got a quality management system. Everybody understands what it's for, why you have it, how it's related to the business, and how it's relevant to them, and what it means in terms of their own actions and behaviors. So that means everyone is doing what they are supposed to be doing. And so all the compliance stuff will naturally happen because nobody's really dropping any balls. I thought of this analogy when I was thinking of this, when I was thinking of the podcast last night. I thought of this analogy. If you think of your company like a sports team, okay, and you can maybe think of quality assurance as the goalie. Okay, so my daughter plays field hockey, and there's this indoor version of the sport, which is five a side. Mm-hmm. And it's like ice hockey kind of. And during the game, you hear so much communication on the floor. It's just yelling all the time. And most of it's coming from the goalie.
Okay.
And occasionally the coach yells something from the sidelines, or maybe the captain says something every so often, but mainly it's the goalie. She's always the loudest one. She has to be clear, right, when she's talking, and no mucking around, because the game is on when this is happening. Now, she can see the whole floor, right? And she can see all the threats, and she can see how much time is on the clock, and she can see where all the players are on both teams. And the goalie is yelling instructions to all the players, like, move left, player on the right, strong side, back up, 20 seconds left, whatever. She's just constantly giving them these little instructions, which have to be clear. Now, the quality person is like the goalie, but everyone on the team understands the rules of the game. They understand their role, where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to do. And they all understand clearly what everyone else's role is too, right? And they've worked on their skills. And when they're preparing for the game, they're all there, right? They're all doing the drills. The drills don't work if they're not all there. Now, the goalie needs the team in front of her. And in a worst case scenario only, then the ball makes it past everyone and she has to save the day. And that's kind of like a cool analogy for quality culture. Now, on this team, everyone has a shared vision.
Yeah.
They want to win.
Exactly. They're not competing. That everybody has to have the same mindset and same goal at the end.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. They're not competing against each other. They're competing only against the competition. They're not fighting each other for the ball, right? They're passing the ball. And they're all heading for the towards the same net. And there are special players for special positions and special skills, right? But everyone knows the why. They know why the umpires are there. They know the rules of the game. They know they're on the same team. They follow the game plan that the coach gives them because he also wants to win. And they all do their part. And then they all kiss the trophy at the end. And if they don't play as a team, they're not going to win. The goalie will be exhausted from constantly trying to save the goals and will definitely let in a few because she's only human. And then she'll be irritated with the whole team for not working together. And I thought, yeah, that's That's quality, right?
I mean, this is a great analogy because you see it's visual, you see that directly, if I can say. The difficulty I think for company is the fact that sometimes everybody's working in silo, like the marketing is working only on marketing things, the finance is working on financing, the quality is trying to connect everybody, the boss is just saying I want to make millions of revenue, etc. You see, it's like everybody has his own view
field. Why your first objective is to get everybody behind that shared vision and then tie quality into that shared vision. So if that vision isn't coming down from the top for whatever reason, your leadership team's just, they're not good leaders or whatever, then as quality, you are in the best position to get that message out to everyone because you touch on everyone. Quality is directly, you know, deals with every single position in the company. So you are the best person to build those relationships to get that message out to everyone. So that then everybody is on the floor together and they're all going for the same place.
Hey, just a second. Do you need an EU, Swiss or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com.
So for the people that are now listening and say, oh, I really want to do that. So should they try to draft something alone, if I can say, or is it more something that you'll have first to maybe convince first that maybe show that you need that? So let's work on it to the management. I mean, what would be your tricks or advice to them to say, do it on that way so that maybe you can reach to the top and convince your boss on this?
It really depends. Like, you might decide, well, let me try going to the top first, because that's going to be just easier if you can get them on side. But, you know, maybe you're in a global company and you don't even see the guys at the top ever. Right? So it's like, okay, this is not practical. So what am I going to do? So you can try and get visible to that leadership group in other ways. Like, if you're not invited to the leadership table, which usually quality people aren't for some very strange reason.
Yeah.
You have, you know, if you're not there, your goal is to get yourself there. But if you're not, you got to get the attention somehow. So you can start little initiatives and that, like, I don't know, a quality newsletter or lunch and learns or like anything could be small. You're just trying to get your name out there so that the people at the top go, what is this person? What's she doing all this? Like, what's happening here? And if you can also influence other people, you know, say your buddies with whoever's in charge of operations. Okay, let's start one little area at a time. Let me get this guy thinking the right way. And then it'll trickle down in each department, like one by one by one, you know. So you just start wherever you are and go, okay, what's going to have the biggest impact and what's practical from where I am and what can I do? And sometimes that means maybe you think, yes, the person I need to talk to, I need to convince the person at the top.
Yeah.
But then you go, oh my God, but I don't have the confidence for that. Oh, I'm so intimidated by that person. Work on your confidence. Right? Go for a little detour, go and work on your mindset stuff. Okay. Or like, oh, I'm terrible at, I don't really know how to influence people. That's a skill. Go learn it. Right. So you just have to figure out what you want to do and then get the skills behind you to go and do it. And, you know, I'm making it sound like it's easy. It's not easy. Right.
I mean, being, I was on that position and trying to do that for some big corporate companies. And it's really difficult. The only way I was able to do that was when there was a catastrophe, when there was something that was difficult to handle by the top management. And now they're asking for a solution. So these were the moments where you can build that. And the catastrophe I'm talking about is, for example, warning letters from FDA. So at the end, it's like, we have really to change our way of doing things, invest more in quality, etc. So this was my, if I can say, thing to, that I can pull from and say, if we don't do that, we'll not be compliant. If we don't do that, we cannot remove the warning letter. If we don't do that. So it was like a way for convincing them. Yeah. And it worked really well. But when everything goes well, I know that maybe it's a bit difficult.
So it's about, like, you know, you don't want to wait for the disaster. before you say, oh, guess what? This is why we should be thinking of quality.
Exactly.
So what you got to do is anticipate, and you got to think, okay, instead of going, if we don't do this, this is going to happen. And if we don't, like, nobody wants to be bossed around, especially by someone below them, right? So instead, you've got to show those, you've got to show whoever you're talking to. And if it's the leadership group and you've decided, I'm going to try and get that guy's attention because I think he's the guy who's going to be able to help this, make this happen. Then you got to really think of who is this person? What keeps them up at night? Like, are they like driven by the bottom line? Are they driven by customer satisfaction? Are shareholders breathing down their neck? Like, what is going on with this person? And how does this person like to communicate? Do they like emails? Do they like face-to-face? Is this a left brain or right brain person? Should I be throwing facts and figures in front of them or telling a little story about grandma dying? You know, like what? So you literally got to be thinking of, you know, who you're talking to and what you're trying to achieve in each conversation. And that's why it's time consuming and difficult because, okay, I don't know the leader that I'm going after. So then the question is, okay, how am I going to get to know them? So now that's your plan. How am I going to get to know this person? Or if you go, this person's unreachable by me, you go, okay, who does he listen to?
Exactly.
Let me go for that person. Let me see if I can make inroads that way. So you're literally like just stepping back and looking like, how am I going to do this? And that's why it takes a while. And it's fiddly because you're dealing with people. You know, people have egos and quirks and things like that. But it is possible. But it's just being very, very strategic and patient as you go about it.
And when I arrived to a certain company and we discuss about quality, everybody was afraid to talk to quality people because mainly it was like, if I talk to you, you'll find that there is a problem. Then you'll ask me more work to do on this or make a non-conformity or a kappa, which makes it like, I don't want to do that. So let me hide things from you and this and that. So it was like this culture. So it was like, I have a problem, but I prefer not to talk to quality because I will try to solve it myself instead of talking to them because otherwise they will be let's open a kappa, let's do an investigation, let's do this. It's boring. No, I don't want to do that. So it was this kind of mindset. And then we moved to more about communication of why are we doing that? For example, the famous thing I was doing to explain to them to say, okay, why are we opening a non-conformity? I say, because if I have a complaint on the market and there was an issue about these kind of products, if there is a big issue and I don't know where it's coming from, I have to recall 1 million units of products. But if I knew it was coming at that point, at that moment, maybe I will recall just 10,000 units of products because I know it was just that thing. And then they say, oh yeah, it's good then. Yeah, so it's less work from us at the end. Yes, it's less work from you. So you have to communicate and explain that. But then this is the foundation to build the quality culture because then they can follow you and they can work with you.
Yeah.
And as you've said, if you cannot reach the top, reach the second line or the third line, etc.
Reach whoever you can. Yeah, you said a couple of things there that I wanted to comment on. So the education part is huge and the relationship part, because that whole, you need everyone to feel that you're approachable.
Exactly.
So they need to know you a little bit. So that's why the relationship part is good. But the education part is equally important because I'm not talking about training. I'm literally talking about educating, like helping them understand, like, what is this? Who am I? What do I do? Why am I here? And all of that stuff. And then, so you need that relationship for people to feel that, like, I noticed this thing, or I think I did, you know, I think there's an issue here. And they'll feel comfortable approaching you, right? And the other thing you mentioned was, like, you know, people think it's extra work. And you said the exact thing, like you had a recall. It's like, okay, a recall is extra work, right? Deciding to focus on communication skills and relationships and messaging about the importance of quality management is not extra work, because it's work you're supposed to be doing anyway. You're required to do awareness training. Right? So make the training make more sense than it currently does. Have more conversations, set up recognition systems, figure out a decent like internal communication strategy that addresses this kind of stuff. These are things you're doing anyway. So it's not extra work.
Yeah, and you have a lot of events that you can create. What we had in our company is like the quality month. So then during 1 month, there was promotion of quality. We are doing some events where, for example, one of the events we are doing is a Lego event. We have a team that has a Lego that has to be built, but they have just a picture of the product at the end. And we have the second team that has a Lego, but we had a full instruction, step one, do this, step two, do that, step three, do that. And we ask them, and they hide one from the other. And we ask them, let's see which one will make it to the end quickly. And also, the product is completely fine compliant. And then it was showing to them why your procedure is important, why you have to follow some steps, etc.
Yeah. So
these were the kind of thing that we put in place for the quality culture, also events. But yeah, as you said, having some events, having some kind of rewards, having some kind of things to people that are not in the quality but departments can also show why we are here, why quality is here.
Yeah. And you also want to make quality like so in their face that it's pretty boring.
Exactly.
It's like, no, it's just what we do, right? Yeah. You know? And so a really good, I love that Lego exercise. Like that's fantastic. Another good one is sort of like just getting people to reward people who are not like, or to nominate, I guess, people who are not in their function. So that other people start to realize how everybody is actually part of this big picture. So you're not allowed to nominate someone from your department. You got to nominate someone else who did something good in quality, you know, and that kind of thing just makes people really aware. Like it just pulls people out of their silos a little bit,
exactly.
Right? And go, oh, yeah, okay.
So in terms of building, so I understand now, but now let's talk to more to the regulation and the legislation. So this is great to have, but is there a requirement by an ISO like ISO 13485 or any legislation, MDR or USFDA, etc., to have a quality culture? So is it like a requirement?
So I'm not a global regulatory expert, and it's been a while since I even worked in regulatory, and I was mainly dealing with Health Canada. So I don't know for sure around the world, but I'm pretty sure it's not. But it's been recognized by regulatory authorities as a critical attribute of a good quality system. The FDA has this quality management maturity program. I think it's still voluntary, but maybe one day it won't be. I don't know. But obviously, it matters if they've designed a program around it, and quality culture is part of their scoring system. So that's a sign. And also, there is a standard. I mean, it's not mandatory or anything. I think it's number 10,010 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, 10,010. And it's about quality culture. And so it's like, okay, they've taken the time to write out a standard. So, you know, I think it's becoming more and more critical because people are realizing this is really, really important. So, but honestly, if somebody asks that question, it tells me they don't really understand how a quality culture benefits the business. So somebody needs to help them understand that. Because aiming for, like you said at the very beginning, aiming for the bare minimum isn't generally the best path to success, right? Do you want to just pass the test or do you want to be the top of the class, right?
Exactly.
And if you ask the question because it's sort of a compliance-focused question, it's like, well, don't worry, because you're more likely to be compliant if everybody gets it, right?
And the idea here on this question is also that sometimes people want to get kind of some leverage or some points where they can use that to say, you know, my boss, it's mandatory by this regulation, so we have to do it. It's not like I need to convince you.
I would be saying, hey, the FDA cares about this. They've got this quality management maturity thing, and if it's happening at the FDA, it's going to happen somewhere else soon enough. So we should get on this. Like that's, I think that quality management maturity thing is really important, because I think the way my understanding of it, now I don't know all that much about it, but my understanding of it is that the higher your score, the less regulatory oversight is required, which means you're going to save money, fewer audits, right? So that could be how you sell it to the guys at the top, right?
I think, yeah, exactly. So as soon as you talk about saving money, it's the language for that. It's mainly what I'm using a lot also. So in terms of that, so what we have is that we have this quality culture that is kind of nice to have. We have this maybe a rule in terms of the FDA or some ISO. What I've seen myself when I was working, if I can say, when I was audited by FDA or by any other organization, the point is that what we are doing is that at the beginning of each audit, we do like a presentation of the company. So it's slides where we talk about our quality culture, about our quality policy, about our objectives, about the facility, how many square meters, etc., how many people, etc. But things that are giving them some confidence that, guys, we are, you are not here at a company that has no kind of values or mission, etc., or some quality culture. You have a company that has really quality culture. Here is what is written, and here is how we are translating that inside our company, etc. So this also is a tool to give some confidence to an auditor to say,
huge,
guys, no need for me to dig too much on this because I know that
exactly.
You are really great, etc.
Exactly.
So it helps you. But if you arrive to a company that has no quality culture and they are just having a checkbox for some documentation, the auditor will know that, oh, it's easier to find a lot of issues with them because they
they're
going
to be crying
that
by the end of the audit. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's so good. If you can start off by, you know, hey, we've got a quality culture. We know what that means. And this is how we do things. Yeah, it's going to be easy peasy during the audit. Yeah.
So there is, as we talked about quality culture, there is a requirement by the ISO 13485 to have also what we call a quality policy. So is there a link here, you think, between them or not?
Well, yeah, because basically, like when you have this quality culture, everyone is tuned in to the quality policy and your quality objectives. And everyone is really crystal clear on how they personally fit into the policy and the objectives and what it means in terms of their own actions in their role. So yeah, it's completely like you can't really separate it. It's like that quality culture is tuned right into the quality policy, which if done right is tuned into the business, right? Exactly. Like it's all the same thing. Yeah.
No, it's why it's important. So this is also one of the leverage that you can have is that using the quality policy also as a foundation for building a bigger quality culture. So starting from there. But I saw also some companies that have a quality policy that is just for checking the box. But when we are asking them how you are executing this quality policy to make that things, they don't have any objective, nothing that is linked really to the quality policy. So
if you actually ask them what their quality policy is, they'd be like, oh, I need to go look that up.
Usually they say we want to be the best ever from our
group. Okay.
So, but how are you doing that? What is the objective?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the tool that
what
you put in place?
What does it look like? Yeah.
So if you have now a quality culture in place and it's working, etc., is this something that needs to be revised or changed, or is it something that you have once and you can keep it for 100 years?
Well, I'd say just once, really, because like a quality culture, if you've got one, it'll also involve like this mindset about continuous improvement and all of that. And so it's going to naturally happen that it just continues to evolve with the company, right? You don't update how you think and work and live and breathe. And that's really what this quality culture is. It's like, how are we thinking and doing stuff? So like literally a quality culture is like how we do things around here. And so you don't really have to rebuild anything. It'll impact every area of the business so that you'll actually be attracting new hires that think this way, right? And if they don't, they'll self-select out very quickly when they realize they don't really fit. So I think once you've dedicated that time to building that culture and everybody's got the same mindset about this stuff, it's pretty solid and it'll just move along. And everybody else that joins the company, you know, will also buy right into that same thinking.
No, it's great.
So it should be forever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so I hope this convinces everybody to have a quality policy.
Yeah, do it.
And also that, we know it's difficult to have that and it's difficult to maybe start this. So you said you are a certified executive coach. So how can you help then people that are maybe listening now and say, I'm alone or I'm a bit shy. So are you able to help them for this kind of activities?
Yes, I am. So I do one-on-one coaching. I do small group coaching, and I'm starting in this this later this year, I'm going to start a mastermind that's focused on building a quality culture. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it's going to be like, let's do this. Because a lot of the time we have trouble like setting aside the time. Like we are mainly fighting fires as quality people. We're just like, exactly. I don't have time to figure this out. So this is like dedicated time, you know, every other week, 90 minutes. Let's go. Let's work on this part. Let's work on this part. So kind of like hand holding, but also like holding them accountable. Like let's just get this going here. So that's something I've got in the works in my head. But I also have a community outside of LinkedIn called the Quality Network.
Okay.
And this is focused on providing support to quality people who need to work on the skills that will allow them to build a quality culture. So there's networking, lots of resources, a couple of courses, lots of webinars, and then office hours with me 3 times a month if you need to actually talk to me and I can help you. So if anyone's interested in that, just reach out through LinkedIn. That's the best way to reach me. That's what I'm doing. And that's kind of what I want to really dedicate my business to, is that membership group.
No, it's great. So I will put anyway all the details on the show notes. So don't hesitate to go on the show notes and find out the information about Leslie and or her profile and everything. Don't hesitate to contact Leslie for if you have any question about this quality culture. I think as we said, it's the next level, but it's a level that is really will help you really also to build your career, because if you have also this mindset, with any company that you will go, you will really be successful, because this is the way to be successful. But yeah. I feel the pain of people that are saying to me, yeah, I want this, but my top management is not following that. So I feel the pain. Maybe it's the time to change companies and move to another one. But sometimes you have no choice. It's not like, don't fight too hard, otherwise you'll be demotivated too. So yeah, the only way is to move to another challenge and convince another people that maybe deserves this kind of mindset.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you, Leslie. It was really a pleasure. Thanks for all this information, and I wish you a nice day.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Monir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.